and the ship's in the rocks. You know, it'd be a great day to be a ship at sea. Until this afternoon when the wind picks up 30 miles an hour and everybody would die. Before that, it'd be good.
It's getting up there already.
Yeah, we got Captain Carl over there in the guest seat. Gonna do the area fishing report. How you been, Carl?
Great. Been really good.
Yeah, it's that time of year, though, isn't it?
Fish are happy. Makes me happy.
Yeah. The fish are happy.
Yep.
I gotta say, I went out and fished a little bit. It was real nice change of pace getting back out in the boat.
Oh, yeah.
Took the little one, the little tiny one out.
Yep.
And it was nice. I gotta mount a seat on the front of the center console for Terry. It's a little rough for her because she sits up forward of where I am.
Front's always a little bumpier.
Yeah, and that little boat, it's flat bottom, so when you go across all them little waves, it's just
yeah.
A lot of vibration in it.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, it's not bad.
It'll get you anywhere.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised, and the water's so clear in some of these spots where there's usually murky at best, and it's just crystal clear, and you're going, boy, I didn't even think I'd get this boat in here. And you put your rod in the water, and you're like, wait a minute, I got a foot and a half of water here.
Yeah.
Yeah, 18 inches of water, and I'm worried about getting across.
You just said something. I didn't hear what it was.
Your phone's asking you stuff?
It was going off in my pocket.
I didn't hear what you asked either. Oh, goodness gracious. Let's see. I guess looking up on the Peace River, by, I can type this in myself, I-75, there is Goliath, Goliath grouper there, caught a couple of shorts, got railed by a big one.
Really?
And mangrove snappers, there was actually, mangrove and snapper. There was actually quite a few. I took a bait, a bag of that frozen pilchards or whatever it is that we got. I was cutting them into three pieces so I could get the fish. When I was using them in half, the fish were taking them and they were gone.
Oh, yeah.
But boy, do you need a pair of scissors for that. I got to tell you, trying to cut that stuff with a knife is a mess.
Yes.
We got those little Rapala scissors with the white handles on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was using those to cut those baits into three pieces, then trim the fan part of the tail off, and it worked great for bait. I had a 1/0 hook. I could have probably used a 2/0 for those, maybe a 3.
You get any of those black drum up there?
No, not one black drum. I was the only one. We were the only ones catching fish, as far as I could see. I would like to say the fishing there was great, but it really wasn't. A ton of snook up San Suchi Trestle.
Yes.
Man, there's a lot of snook up there.
Yep. There's quite a few redfish scattered out all over up there.
I caught, I had a snook on, I ended up losing it, and the school's just exploding. Looks like jacks in the water, just busting all the way up and down. And we get right up onto them, cast in, hooked one, lost it, and T tossed at the bridge, you know, a little excited, right up, snagged the lure up in there.
Oh.
Couldn't get it off. Ended up having to take the boat in. They were all done.
Uh-oh.
I should have just broke it off, you know.
Went and got it when you were done.
Yeah, went and got it after the fishing was over.
The tarpon are still doing very good up there, too.
I didn't see any tarpon.
They've been a little bit up from your place. From, like, Harbor Heights boat ramp up the river. They're still over there by the campgrounds. You know, catfish tails and live or dead mullet have been working the best.
All right. And, hey, Dad. Well, I'll tell you what, Carl. How about let's go down by 41 Bridge here. What's been going on down by the bridge?
Early morning and nighttime has been doing the best. Your snook bite is going crazy right now. You could go out there and throw big storm paddle tails. You could throw Rapalas. You know, ladyfish are working good. There's been a lot of tarpon up there early in the morning. But other than that, I mean, there's been a few black drum and a few random cobia. But mainly the snook bite's the best.
Okay. Have you heard anything about Lashley Pure?
No, I haven't.
Let's see. I haven't heard of anything either. Bayshore Pure, according to the Sharks and Cobia, or what I've been hearing about over there.
Yeah, there's been a few snook running around there. And also there's been a few redfish just traveling through the flats there. I'm not sure which way they're going, but there's a few redfish. The small sharks have been the best over there.
Yeah, people, when you talk about redfish there, you got to go close to land, you know, and we tell them about redfish there, and they will go out to the end of the pier.
Yes.
And fish for them. You got to walk out about 30 feet.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch.
Cast back.
There's a bunch, like, if you ever walk that whole bank, there's a bunch, like, little oyster beds up close.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of crabs hang out around there, and that's what those redfish are doing. They're coming in and out looking for crabs.
Some of the best spots for redfish there, before the hurricane, there used to be a lot of old tires out there.
Yep.
And you would literally, I'd be walking along casting and look, and there'd be a tire. You look inside, there's a redfish, three redfish laying inside of the tire.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I know tires are ugly and they're all that, but
it's structure.
It's structure. Fish hang out into them. All right, Port Charlotte Canal System. I know the snook is good. Now, what were you talking about over there at the mouth of the canals over Port Charlotte there?
The snook are doing very good. There's a lot of juvenile tarpon. You know, throw a little DUI terrorizer. Those have been working very good if you don't have, like, whitebait or thread fins.
Yeah, the DOA terrorizer is the tarpon king right now, yep. The canal tarpon.
I mean, you could put it under a float, or you could just cast it out there and steady, slowly reel it in. Both ways have been working very good.
Now, pompano, trout?
There's been some pompano over by Grassy Point. I don't know how many there. I mean, I came over there yesterday, and I sat down, and I seen six or seven scatter out. But there has been some pompano running there.
Okay. And back in the canals, I haven't heard too much about any kind of snapper stuff.
The snapper bite's been doing pretty good over there with the same canal as where the locks used to be. I can't remember the name of that canal.
Manchester.
The snapper bite's been doing very good in there.
Okay.
I went over into the Port Charlotte canals yesterday looking for the black drum that were there. I couldn't find them. But we ended up, we did get some juvenile tarpon and some small snook.
All right. Let's take us over to Elder Bean. What's going on in Elder?
Elder Bean, still, the night bite is still going crazy. Your snook, your tarpon, a few random cobia. I've been throwing, like, big storm paddle tails, big bombers. You know, those new... What are those new baits that we have?
Oh, that live target.
The live target, yeah. Yep. The live target mullet and the bigger thread fin or white bait has been working very good. You know, try to cast in the light lines where the lights from the bridge is hitting the water. That seems to be where all the fish are really hanging out.
Yeah, the only problem with the live target is like $10, $11.
It's expensive. I mean... But it works.
Work.
It works very good.
Yeah. It's just, I have a hard time when I look at, you know, $3-4 for the storm and, you know, $9 to $11 for the live target. I did take one. I didn't throw it, though. It's $11. It's still in the tackle box.
I throw them a lot.
I caught the, you know, on that salt and pepper with the chartreuse tail, that mm-hmm. little jig head, redhead. Yeah, I caught fish on that.
Oh, yeah.
But I never got around to throwing the live target.
Hey, you didn't have to. You were catching fish.
I was catching fish. And that's a DOA bait. They're like,
yeah.
You know, they're less than $4 for a bunch of them in there and some jig heads and you're golden. What about the cutoff, Cadillac Point, 14-foot hole, tippy canoe, anything like that?
inside the cutoff, there's, for some odd reason, there's some really big oversized redfish right now. I'm not sure what they're doing up this far right now, but I mean, there's a lot of good redfish, oversized redfish in the Mica cutoff. I've been throwing crabs mainly. Crabs and shrimp is what I've been using for the redfish. There's a lot of snook in the Mica cutoff. You know, white bait or thread fins is working your best. I've also been doing the Zoom, the split tail jerk shad.
Yeah.
I've been throwing that as artificial. It's been working white. Very good. White, yep.
Okay.
When you come outside the cutoff on, like, you know, you're outside the mouths, there's been a lot of black tips, small black tips. Very, very fun on light action rods. You know, as soon as you hook them, they think they're a snook right now. They're jumping all over the place. You know, a half a thread fin, a live thread fin. They're not picky. They're eating pretty good right now. You know, light tackle. I mean, I wasn't even using steel leader because we were trying to catch snook, and we ended up catching a bunch of those little small black tips, and
just amazing.
It was a blast.
It's one of my favorite fish to catch because they jump. Yeah. They do everything that we want out of a game fish, and they're some of the best eating I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess we have to go over to the South Gulf Cove canals. Anything going on over there?
I haven't heard nothing about over there.
Yeah, I haven't either. All right. Now, on the west side, you've run into some pretty strange stuff back in the creeks.
Yeah, for some odd reason, I stopped in a trout creek the other day, you know, because usually you do pretty good on the snook and the redfish.
What were you using for bait?
Shrimp.
Okay.
I was mainly, when I go in there, I throw shrimp on a jig head or, you know, shrimp on a regular hook with a split shot just to bring it down because it's deep in Trout Creek. Well, we went in there and we ended up catching a lot of whiting.
You were saying they're actually pretty good size whiting.
Too. Yeah, good eating size whiting. I've never seen that in Trout Creek, you know, because usually I get snapper, redfish, snook. But we got all whiting.
All right. How about just along the west wall in general?
There's a lot of your snook are running down the west wall heading towards Cape Hayes. They're starting to get in their breeding pattern. You know, they're starting to all migrate towards the beaches. The redfish, they're all up and down the west wall. A shrimp is working very good on them. Crab is working good. But there's a lot of fish on that west wall right now. You just have to stay pretty far back. The water's pretty clear over there. Like I had a customer the other day that, you know, we were out fishing. He's like, man, I came over here last week. I couldn't catch anything. He goes, how are we catching fish right now? And I was like, do you see how far we're sitting off the bushes? And he's like, yeah. He goes, I was probably halfway closer. And I was like, well, that water gets very clear. If they could see you, they're not going to eat.
It's the reason why, one of the guys who makes chum was in, he was saying, oh, I'm going to put a bunch of oil in this, you know, and do the oil. I said, man, bad idea on the flats. Really bad idea, because it clears the water up so much, the fish see you in the bait fish and everything, and they just move away.
Yep.
You got to have a little bit, but if you put too much out there, I made that mistake one time fishing, and where we were, the reds would come up on the sandbar up on the shoal, cross it to get back onto the, you know, the regular flats area. We were sitting there, was a bunch of reds down all the ways, and I said, well, I don't really want to move the boat down there. By the time we get there, they'll be gone. And if we, you know, so we could just see them coming over the things. I said, let me try and chum them up here a little bit. And I put a big glop of menhaden oil in my live well so that it would go around. Sheen the water off, and man, the redfish just hauled.
Yep.
They were gone. They worst thing was, there was another boat down for me, and
they ran right to him.
No, they ran away from everybody.
Oh.
Luckily, it was a friend of mine, so he didn't get too upset with me.
But yeah, the west wall is doing very good. I mean, there's a lot of bonnethead sharks out on the sandbar. You know, shrimp's your best bet for them, live or dead. But the west wall is doing very good.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Okay. Cape Hayes. What's going on down Cape Hayes?
If you sit off on the outside, there's a lot of trout. There's been quite a few keepers out there, but there's been a lot of small ones. But, I mean, it's steady action. A little DOA paddle tail with a jig head is working great. Shrimp under a float. There's a lot of bonnet heads there on the outside. As you get to the inside trough where it's deeper, there's a lot of snook hanging out along that wall. You know, throw a shallow diving bait because it, you know, where those snook are sitting, they're sitting in the shallows. But there's a lot of snook there. I've also been getting a few oddball flounder mixed in. You know, one flounder here, a couple days later, another flounder. But the bite's been very good.
Okay. Trying to type while we're doing this, so let me get down to the next section here. Obviously, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay.
Turtle Bay right now is doing better for your redfish. There's quite a few snook in there, but it seems like there's a lot more snook in Bull Bay in those islands. You know, every corner of those islands, there's a deep trough from where the current's washing it out. And the snook are really stacked up in there. Your redfish, they're sitting there running the banks. They're not really sitting in one spot. Like, one day they're here, the next day they're going to be a mile down the shoreline. But there's a lot of redfish in there. Shrimp has been working good. Crab has been working good. Cut mullet, cut ladyfish. I'm still fishing the redfish a little slower right now. The snook bite, though, I mean, I'm fishing them fast, throwing topwaters, jerk baits. Your trout fishing has been very good out there in the middle, in your deeper water. Especially in Bull Bay, I've been getting a lot of big trout.
All right, Cape Hayes Reef.
Still mackerel out there. A lot of mackerel, you know, look for the birds. Also, another thing, I've been doing a lot of good shark fishing there. The sharks are starting to really, really move in, and I mean, that's where I've been sitting, just off the Cape Hayes Reef. Seems that's where all the bait is, all the mackerel is, so the sharks are really hanging out there. I've been doing best with the sharks on ladyfish. You know, a half a ladyfish.
Yeah, a guy just said that we got to include ladyfish in the bait reports. He just asked me.
Good luck finding them.
Yeah.
Because the tarpon are here, and when the tarpon show up, the ladyfish go hiding.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, I mean, bonita have been working very good, too. I've been bringing bonita, mullet, and ladyfish, but the bonita and the ladyfish have been doing the best.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a side note here, because... for those of you listening, you know, you hear Carl was catching fish here, and Carl was catching fish there, and Carl caught this, and then they caught that, and then they caught the other thing. Have you been paying attention? There is one thing that stands out most in my mind. Not that, you know, there was pompano here at Grassy Point they found, and they caught redfish here, they caught a lot of snook in the cutoff, and he caught whiting here and this there. Have you noticed the variety of bait?
It's the most important.
You've talked about crabs, shrimp, white bait, bonita, you know, from frozen bait to fresh caught bait. And I think that is the number one key, you know, when you're listening at home and you're wondering, you know, what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to catch these fish. But you might have to have 2-3 different baits with you, or 4, to have one of these Captain Carl days. Where, you know, you go and you catch a snook, then you find some whiting, then you got a couple of flounder, then some trout, and then some redfish and sharks and all this. You're not going out with just white bait and doing this. You're not going to do it with just shrimp. You're not going to do it with just that or just the other thing.
Yep.
It's changing spots, changing baits, and changing presentations. We've heard jig heads, heard bobbers. It's really important to kind of bring that out. As to why, when you go out you know, you're coming back and you've caught 40, 50 plus fish on a charter. And the guy's going out and they're not hitting them. Knowing how to fish the spots, but knowing that you might have to change the bait you're using. Yep. And I've never understood this loyalty to a bait. It's like guys, when they come down, they're going to fish saltwater. They're going to put a sinker on. They're going to throw it out in the bottom because that's how I fish saltwater. Well, what if the other fish are there?
Yep.
If I get, you know, I tried bobbers. I tried freelining. Just the other day when Terry and I were out, I mean, we fished floats, freeline, and sinkers. And I tried freelining in one spot, didn't work. Tried the bobbers, mm-hmm. It worked better because it would literally move down and you could see where the bait was. Now, I had a pretty long lead, so I think my bait was probably maybe 2-3 inches off the bottom. But you could tell where it was going, let it drift right into the pilings, yep. And boom, you could get a hit or a fish. But when we got out, it was completely impossible to fish those on the next spot. So we ended up, current needed sinkers to get down to bottom, and slip sinkers ended up.
Yes.
We actually caught when I took the split shots off and put the egg sinker sliding on the line where I could feel the first tap. Otherwise, they were finding out about me before I was finding out about them.
They sure were.
Yeah.
But it's always good, you know, because fish, they don't want the same thing to eat every single day. I mean, yeah, they might want crab.
We just through that when we went over Circle K. I'm like, yep. Okay, I got to get a drink. Well, what do I want? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I got this or that or next thing. It's hard to decide. And so yep. Then you walk up and go, okay, well, I'll take this. You almost think fish got to be the same way.
They are. I mean, it also depends on, like, what area you're in. Like, certain areas are going to hold more white bait or certain areas are going to hold more crabs. And, you know, whatever's in the area, that's what the fish are there eating.
All right. Well, let's talk Gasparilla Sound over there in the Tennant Flats. Now, this is east of the ICW between Devilfish and Placida. What are we talking about?
Around Devilfish, there's a lot of trout right now. Just get out there in the grass flats, you know, 3 to 5 feet of water, and you'll catch trout. You're also going to catch, there's been a few ladyfish running around there off of Ko Palu. Out there in that deeper water, you know, get out there, try to catch some trout, and you're going to catch a few ladyfish while you're doing it. There's a lot of snook hanging out on the Ko Palu point on the whole outside right there. There's a lot of snook and big snook. The best thing that I've been doing with them is a ladyfish cut in half. Just get it out there on the edge of the bar and just let it sit. You do want to do it a little bigger just because so the catfish don't pick it up. But I mean, that's what I've been doing for the big snook is cut ladyfish. It seems to be out fishing white bait. It seems to be out fishing live ladyfish.
For the bigger fish, absolutely. Yes. If you want to catch a lot of smaller fish, you're going to go to the white bait. You'll catch a lot smaller snook.
There's been a lot of redfish in Winning Creek. Our tides are starting to get up now. So they're starting to leave the deeper holes and they're starting to push to the shade and the mangroves. But on the low tide, they are still sitting in the holes. You know, just bounce from hole to hole on your trolling motor or use the wind to push you if you don't have a trolling motor. You can see the holes out there. You know, you float up to it to a casting range. Sit there and fish it. Put a shrimp on a bobber. Put a shrimp on a jig head. You're going to catch either redfish, trout, or jacks. I mean, not jacks, snook.
Snook.
But Whitten Creek's doing very good right now.
Cool. All
right.
What about it by Placida Pier, Placida Trestle, anything?
There's been a lot of snapper. The sheep's head bite's been off, but there's been a lot of snapper on the trestles. There's also been quite a few snook hanging out on the trestles, too. We came through there the other day and we seen this guy hooked up on something big. So we stopped and we were just watching him. We were like actually like cheering him on. We were, you know, telling him to get it. You know, don't let that fish kick your butt. I mean, he ended up pulling a monster. I'm talking about big redfish up.
Really?
I mean, I asked him, I was like, is that the only one you got? He goes, man, we were just catching snappers after snappers on shrimp. And he pulled up like a 40-inch redfish. It was a good size redfish. So, I mean, there are some redfish hanging out in there. I don't know how many, but, I mean, there are still some running through there.
Yeah.
Your docks, you know, I don't know if we're over by that Boca Bayou yet. Are we there?
Yeah, we can We can talk about that. Let me, I'm just going to switch back up here. And, yeah, I'm going to get back up where the color will keep. That's the weird part about this is trying to, I try and do each report I do in a different color so people know it's a different one. Okay. Go ahead.
The docks have been doing very good. Big variety of fish. I've been catching, you know, small grouper, undersized grouper over there. We've been catching a lot of snapper. We've been catching snook. We've been catching redfish. Those docks right now are holding a lot of fish. I don't know if it's because the the hill tides that we've been having, filtering that water in and out, pushing the bait in and out so good. But them docks are doing very, very good. And to be honest with you, the best thing that I've been using over there is pinfish. Pinfish have been out fishing everything over there on the docks. Reason why, I think, is because the fish are sitting at the bottom, you know, of all your docks, and your white bait stays up top, and your pinfish, when you throw a pinfish out there, the pinfish goes straight down to where they're at. We've been doing the best over there on pinfish.
Wow. Okay. Anything else at Placida or anywhere around there?
I mean, around Bird and Sylvester, there's been a lot of redfish, a lot of snook hanging out there. But other than that, not too much.
Okay. Heading up to Lemon Bay. What's going on in Lemon Bay?
There's been some very, very good trout being caught up there right now. Some big trout. If you also look up there just north of the Tom Adams Bridge, there's a lot of redfish. There's a couple of nice schools of redfish running Englewood. Also on the backside of Ski Alley, there's a good school of redfish there. If you go to those docks that run through Ski Alley, there's a lot of snook. I mean, there's snook on almost every single one of them docks right now. You know, just get on your trolling motor and drift down that whole dock line. You're going to catch snook. Throwing lures or whitebait, it's both working great.
Okay. Have you heard about anybody doing anything off the pier there?
Nighttime. Nighttime is the only thing I've heard. Good, really good snook fishing there at night. I haven't been hearing not too much about snapper or sheep's head or anything, but it's all been snook.
Okay. So we had a couple of days where the wind wasn't blowing 200 miles an hour.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear about anybody making out in the Gulf?
We actually snuck out there for a little bit. We were tarpon fishing one day, and the guy was done. He didn't want to see another tarpon. So we actually snuck about 7 miles offshore. We ended up tearing up the snapper and the porgies. We didn't get too many grouper there, but we got a lot of snapper and porgies on shrimp and squid. You know, I mean, just drop it down. I mean, once you get to the bottom, once you get into them, you're going to be in them. I mean, pretty much what we did is we floated this area, and once we found the fish, we just dropped the trolling motor in the water, and we put the anchor mode on the trolling motor. And that kept us right where the fish were. And we sat there. We had a ball.
Yeah. So you were drifting until you found the fish.
Yep. And I mean, there's this little section that I have out there, and it's like a half a mile little section.
Yeah, it's at a 272 off the end of Boca.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I know what it is. That's where I used to take my guys to.
Pretty much.
It's what they call hard bottom out there, which, in other words, if you were at eye level with the bottom, it would look hard, but it's all crags and crevices, yes. And in the bottom, it's just, you know, worse than Swiss cheese. It's kind of a cross between like the Arizona landscape and a chunk of Swiss cheese.
Yes.
And you know, you're going along, and the strangest thing about it is we've actually been, you can successfully drift it. You would think you would snag every couple of feet, but all of a sudden, boom, and you're not even marking fish, and they just come from underneath out of the bottom because there's so many caves and nooks and crevices.
They're all hiding in there.
And then the bait goes over, and they come out for it, next thing you know, and you find one spot where you're kind of, I would say, picture a mini canyon with a ton of fish, you know, hidden up around in the inside caves, and all of a sudden just boom, 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 you're catching fish, catching fish.
Yep.
But if you go 30 feet either way, there's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how that happens.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, that whenever I go offshore, I always start drifting first. You know, then once we find a fish, we either drop the anchor, we throw our Marco ball buoy over the boat to, you know, let us know where they are. And, I mean, that helps so much when you're doing when you're out there.
Now, did you see anything else? Cobia, mackerel, anything?
We seen some mackerel out there. We didn't see any cobia. We seen a lot of bait. There was stuff hidden in them. We tried trolling through them. We couldn't pick nothing up. I don't know what was crashing in the bait, but there was stuff crashing in the bait. I mean, like I said, we didn't get... I think we got two grouper out there. They were both shorts. But, I mean, we caught a lot of porgies, snappers, grunts. All in light action.
Yeah. Now, I was talking to Morris, and they loaded up on fish. He actually found some keepers, and he was less than 10 miles out and found keeper groupers, which it's tough to do.
This time of year, yes.
Okay. Well, Carl and I die here.
Yeah.
Choking and hacking. Okay. If you were going to pick a pass to fish right now, which one would it be?
Boca Grande Pass.
Okay.
There's a lot of tarpon in there right now. But the snapper bite and the grouper bite, I mean, you're going to catch a lot of grouper in there, but they're going to be shorts. But, I mean, it's nonstop action. I mean, the other day we were sitting there tarpon fishing, and I noticed that this one boat was just sitting off of everybody, away from like all the crowds of everybody. Right. And he was bottom fishing, and he was reeling up snapper and grouper almost every drop. Shrimp, pinfish, stuff like that is working great in there. I mean, we were dropping down crabs the other day when we were tarpon fishing. We were pulling up, you know, nice grouper, just short, but right. I mean, nice grouper. So the Boca Grande Pass is most definitely doing good.
You heard about any of the other passes doing anything?
Captiva is doing pretty good for your snook. Right there on the first, you know, those outer docks right there at the pass, they're doing very good on the snook. There's a few redfish that hanging out at Captiva Pass. Little Gasparilla, it's been a hit or miss. The tarpon go in there and then they leave and then they'll come back in. Those docks that are holding up on the inside of Little Gasparilla are holding some very big snook right now. Live ladyfish or dead ladyfish has been working the best on them. But for by far the best pass that I've been in this past couple weeks has been Boca Grande Pass.
Okay. Now, if you were going to advise somebody who just doesn't have a boat and was going to walk along the shoreline, what would they be likely to catch, or what would you tell them to do? Walking the beaches.
Walking the beaches, I probably make sure I have a silver spoon with me, just because the water's, you know, it's clearer out there, so silver is going to work a little better than the gold. I'd throw parallel with the beach. You know, your first couple feet is where the waves wash out the sand. And that's where all of our snook are going to be. That's where all of our whiting are going to be. Whiting, take some shrimp with you. Shrimp, sand fleas, anything like that. But the beach fishing is starting to pick up for sure. A lot of our snook are starting to migrate that way already.
Yeah, there's a lot of sharks on the beach right now, too.
Yeah, big ones. There's some big bull sharks running the beaches right now.
Yeah, I've been hearing from hammerhead to...
I haven't seen any of the big hammers yet, but the big bulls are here. Your decent-sized hammerheads, your 8-9-footers, they're here. We've been catching a lot of them, but I haven't physically seen any of the big hammers yet.
Yeah. You know, as far as I know, sharks don't actually have a time limit. Like, humans live 80 years, okay? Snook live 20, 25 years. Trout, 5 to 7 years. But sharks, as far as I know, don't have that lifespan. They can live until something kills them, like an alligator. Alligator they don't know how long an alligator could live. I mean, it could be hundreds of years. I mean, same thing with sharks. They're not sure. They think they might have a lifespan, but it could be they just keep going until they die.
Yeah.
You know, until something kills them.
Yep. I mean, very well might be. I mean, if you guys want to catch sharks, now's the time. I mean, they're everywhere.
Remember that old black hammerhead that used to show up all the time? That sucker was scary.
Yep. I haven't seen him.
He's the one everybody looked for years.
I haven't seen him in a long time.
When you saw the big black hammerhead, you knew it was on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've hooked him a few times.
Really?
Yeah, I've played with him a couple times. Robert's had him on. But he's, I think, the most memorable one. We hooked him accidentally. I had a guy on a tarpon trip, and that was back before braided.
Yeah.
And had that bright green fluorescent monofilament on. He has this tarpon on, and he won't fight the tarpon back. All he's doing is holding it. And this tarpon is dragging us and dragging us. It was probably maybe 140, 160 pounder. Not monster, but big. And he took us, started going out in the Gulf with us. And we're going and going. I'm like, you got to pull and reel. You got to get that fish up. And every time the fish, you know, I'm in neutral, then all of a sudden the fish just takes off, does another 100 yards out. So I kicked the motor up, and he'd reel a little bit, but it was really hard because he was just one of these people who would not reel. Yeah. He thought, like, the fish would
tire
to him without doing anything, I guess. I mean, and all of a sudden that hammer got on that tarpon, got on the scent, and I was going up to break the line and get the fish off, and just as I did that, that tarpon came up, and that hammerhead came out of the water, quiet. I mean, my motor was off, the boat was just sitting there, and wasn't really anybody around us. Never heard it come up. It came up, hit that tarpon, and right about then you saw the line was like wrapped around part of his hammer, and all of a sudden the guy starts yelling, I got him. I said, yeah, I don't think so.
He got you.
Yeah, that 40 pound test we had wouldn't even know it was there.
I mean, that's the one thing about tarpon fishing. I mean,
I bet you that shark had to weigh 1,500 pounds. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people don't realize when you're tarpon fishing, you do have to you have to put it to them. I mean, you have to pull, you have to reel.
You have to reel. Yes, you have to fight the fish.
If not, you're going to be there all day, and that fish is probably going to end up dying.
Yeah, well, that one did, but I mean, it wasn't.
Well, yeah.
From exhaustion.
Yeah.
I think he turned around and looked, saw that hammerhead behind him, and it's funny, but it's a fairly good-sized fish. Took it in one bite.
Oh, yeah.
From the tail, put the whole thing in his mouth and closed his...
Yep.
I mean, nothing left of that fish. There was no blood, no water, no nothing, and everything happened.
Just like that. Just... Bam, gone. It's gone.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Anyway, let's go down to Sanibel, Punarasa. I know there's a lot of tarpon around the bridge.
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of tarpon. There's a lot of Goliath grouper at the bridge right now, too, the Sanibel Causeway. The snook fishing's been great down there. A lot of very, very big breeding snook right now. You know, they're all staging up down there, right there at the Sanibel Causeway. Ladyfish have been doing the best. Mullet are also working pretty good. Quite a few sharks down there, too. I know a couple people have been just sitting there right on the base of Sanibel Causeway shark fishing. Catching some very nice sharks if they could get them in.
Yeah. That's always a trick. You know, it's funny. Be showing a guy a reel, and he'll say, well, I don't need anything that big. I'm not fishing from a boat. I'm like,
you need bigger.
No, you need four times the size of a reel than I need. I can start the boat up and follow that fish wherever I want to go.
Exactly.
You know, you can't start the beach up. You know, there's no key slot in the beach. Doesn't have a remote control. Doesn't run. Then the motor's broke, as far as I know. I've tried starting the beach up, get it to follow fish. It just doesn't do it. If you were going to... down in that area, anything up in the Caloosahatchee?
There's quite a few tarpon in the Caloosahatchee, a lot of snook. Other than that, I mean, I haven't caught too many redfish in the Caloosahatchee, like up the Caloosahatchee. I've been catching more redfish down towards the mouth of the Coosahatchee, around like Sword Point and all that. But the snook and the tarpon are doing very good in the Coosahatchee right now. You know, up in Sword Point, right at the mouth of the Coosahatchee, there's a lot of sheep's head in there and a lot of nice snapper. When you go inside, you know, it's deep and there's a lot of oyster beds in there, and there's a lot of, you know, structure on the bottom for all this sheep's head and snapper. It shrimp on a jig head, shrimp under, you know, a split shot. I mean, you'll have a field day up in Sword Point right now. A lot of good fishing in there.
All right. That's going to take us up to Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey, there's been a lot of redfish scattered up all along the bushes. Mainly shrimp is what I've been using. Shrimp has been out fishing everything up in there for some odd reason. I threw crabs the other day when we were looking at redfish, couldn't get them to eat. Finally, I picked up a shrimp out of live well, threw it in. Within a minute, we had a redfish on. Shrimp has been out fishing everything in the Matt Lachey for some odd reason.
Mm-hmm. Could be. I guess, let's see, Pine Island Sound, the other side of Pine Island.
There's a lot of snook running through there, especially on your deep corners or all your islands around like Wood Key. You got those deep holes. A lot of really good snook fishing. Your redfish, they're sitting in the shallow water right now. In Pine Island Sound, mullet has been working best. You know, chunks of mullet. You know, if you go around like Yuseppa and look for those deep holes, there's been some tarpon running through those deep holes. They're not in big numbers. There's like one or two coming through, and then another 5-10 minutes, another couple will come through. Just get out there and just soak baits. Thread fins, mullet. You know, just soak them, and they're going to be coming through, and they'll pick it up if you have it in the hole that they're coming through.
Yeah. All right. Boquilla, Jug Creek Shoal.
There's a lot of bait there right now. A lot of white bait, a lot of thread fins. Right. Also a lot of trout. Trout fishing's been doing very good there. Along your docks on Boquilla have been doing very, very good for snook fishing. They're all over there hanging out because of all the bait that's over there. We've been pulling up, just sitting there on a dock for like 5-10 minutes, catch, you know, quite a few snook, move to the next dock. Very, very good productive fishing there right now.
Okay. Takes us up to Two Pines Burnt Store.
Two Pines is full of snook. There's a lot of snook in there with a few redfish. As you move down towards Burnt Store, there's a lot more redfish hanging out around those oyster beds. You know, shrimp, crabs have been working very good on the redfish over there. For your snook, lures, live target, twitch baits, mirror lure, MR19 or MR17 is working very good.
Slow.
Yes. Twitch, pause. Twitch, pause. You know, working very slow.
And that's exactly the opposite of what you do for the snook.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, for the snook, you work it fast. Just twitch, pause for a second, twitch, pause for a second. But for the redfish, you know, one twitch, let it sit for, you know, 5 seconds. Two twitches, let it sit for 5-10 seconds.
It's amazing how much you have to sit there and wait for that fish to get interested.
Mm-hmm.
All right, if you were going to go from Pirate Harbor up north towards Alligator Creek, anything up there?
A lot of trout scattered out in the flats. A lot of them are going to be smaller, but there is a lot of trout over there right now. The closer you get towards Alligator Creek, the more snook you're going to catch. The closer you get towards Pirate Harbor, the more redfish you're going to catch. They kind of like separated themselves for some odd reason. I'm not sure why, but they really separated themselves over on that east wall. The water is very, very clear over there too. So, you know, fish from a distance. You know, if you're up close because you can't make big long casts, go very slow.
This is the time of year where you may want to start, you know, come in to look at an 8-foot rod.
Mm-hmm.
And not a light action, something in that middle to a little bit heavier, so you don't have a lot of flip to the tip. You need just a little bit of bend to that tip. Grab both hands, get your arms out as far as possible, big overhand cast, trying to throw that way. But yeah, this is the time of year to really think about, you know, one of the things that I try and do when people come in talking about rods, well, what do you already have? What are you fishing with?
Get something
because
different.
They need to think more like golfers.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can go out and do the whole golf course with a putter, or you can use a 7-iron or whatever you want to use, you can do the whole course with it. No reason you couldn't. But it's going to work better if you use the right club for the right situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with fishing. Right now, I want my 7.5-8 foot rods, preferably 8 foot, medium heavy. I want just a little bit on the tip, but I don't want much, because I don't need that tip flopping after I cast, slowing the line down. I want to just get a good zing and really get it some distance. This is to get me to the fish, and okay, maybe that rod isn't going to bend a lot once I got the fish on, but at least I got there.
Yep.
I did get the fish.
Exactly. I mean, the other day I had a guy, it was actually yesterday, we were sitting there, we were on a lot of snook, and this guy seen this little group, it was probably like 5 or 6 snook sitting 10, 15 feet off the boat, and he's throwing at them, and I'm like, bud, I was like, those fish aren't going to eat, you know, they're way too close to us, they could see us, and his buddy was casting way out in front of the boat, and he was catching a fish on every cast.
Right.
And I told the guys, hey, buddy, you ready to catch a fish? He's like, yeah, why? He goes, these ones won't eat. I was like, well, reel it in and throw it out in front of the boat. I was like, those ones know we're here. I was like, I could see them, you could see them, they could see us.
It's the weirdest thing about snook. It's the one fish that will just hang out looking at you just to make you nuts.
And they'll stay there. They won't leave either.
They're, you know, you throw your bait in there, they'll move out of the way of the line, and then they'll go back to sitting where they were.
Yeah, they swim right around it.
Yeah. Yeep. And they're just sitting there, and I think they're just there that, you know, there had to be that one fish that was put there just to make you crazy, and that's the snook. You've been snookered.
Oh yeah, I mean they're good for it. They'll sit there. I mean redfish, they'll run away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, snook, they'll sit right there and just laugh at you pretty much.
And I mean sometimes the snook scatter off and they leave. But if you're sitting there just doing your normal routine, casting at them, they don't feel threatened because they know better.
Yeah,
it really makes you crazy. Okay, getting up to Alligator Creek. Are they still dredging up there?
No. Well, not at the mouth. I don't know about up inside, but they're clear of the mouth. I was there yesterday. I didn't see no dredgers at the mouth of the creek at all.
All right, here's the $64,000 question. Did you find any fish?
I still didn't go up in there. No, I'm going to give it probably another month before it really clears out and cleans up over there.
How about Ponce de Leon Park?
Ponce is doing very good for the snapper bite. Real good on snapper, actually. As you go up inside Ponce, like, just a little bit, there's a lot of snook on that main canal. You know, majority of them are your fun, smaller size. Not too many big ones, but, I mean, it's a steady action on the snook fishing.
Yeah. I used to go in there, and, you know, when you're coming in from Ponce, you go in that first curve to the right, you know, the main curve, I'd sit over on that left side, throw baits up, and let them just drift along around the curve with the tide. And there's one little creek in there, and it doesn't go anywhere, but it just loads up with fish. If you can get a bait to go by the mouth of that, they'll run out and grab it, and you got a fish. You let them go, and they don't seem to go back up there right away. I've literally, you know, watched them. It's like a Pez dispenser. One pops out of the creek and you catch it, and you drift a few more times. Another one comes out of the creek and you catch
it. That little creek holds a lot of fish, especially on the high water.
It's crazy. It's a nothing creek. I've actually pulled the boat up there wondering what it was. Got out and walked, you know, the 20 feet up to where it dead ends, you know.
I haven't walked it, but I've pulled the boat up there to see if it goes anywhere, but
it doesn't.
Yeah.
Years ago, I think, when it went all the way up and it pretty much came almost back up by the ramp, kind of along through the ditch and everything yep. else. I'm sure years ago that creek connected to that one on the outside on that, you know, that Punta Gorda flat there.
Good possibility. Yeah.
I'm almost positive it did, but it obviously doesn't do anything now. Okay, back up in PGI. What's up in the canals?
A lot of jacks. I mean, they're in there. They're hit or miss until you find them. You know, you go down your PGI canals and you'll be sitting there fishing, won't catch one. Then you go into this canal, and then next thing you know, you can't get away from them. But there's some really good jacks running them canals. Another thing that's doing pretty good in the PGI canals is all your juvenile tarpon. There's a lot of juvenile tarpon in there, and there's actually a couple big tarpon in there. Yesterday I went a little undergunned. We went into the turnaround basin, and figuring there'd just be all little juveniles. Well, we come in there, and there was probably six or seven good-sized tarpon in there, 120, 130 pounds. And I'm like, man, I hope we don't hook up on one of these on these light rods. Because, I mean, we weren't going for tarpon at all that day, and none of the big ones. And, man, I mean, there was some big tarpon in there, surprisingly.
Well, here's a tackle question. We've got a minute. We're almost done here. How's your Akuma stuff working out?
Great.
All right. Now, when Akuma outfitted your boat, they gave you a bunch of different types of Akuma reels.
Yes.
Everything from the inexpensive up to the very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have one you like better than the others?
I really like that Azor. It's, you know, it's a little bit heavier of a reel. I mean, it's not a heavy, heavy reel, but I mean, me personally, I like, you know,
it's like
reel.
A pen.
Yeah, it's like a pen. I like that, though. It seems to balance the rods out a little bit better.
You get rid of the tip weight.
Yes.
The extra 1 ounce on the reel helps take some of the pressure off the tip when you're holding it up.
Mm-hmm.
Balances up. So you like the Azores.
Yep. Is Azor.
Any of the other ones doing okay?
They
had some higher end ones. I wasn't impressed with playing with them and working with them.
No, I mean, the Azor, in my opinion, that's the most durable one that they have. I mean, they're all very durable, but the Azor.
I don't remember the name of that $50 reel.
Samar.
Samar, yeah. Or something like that. That's a great reel.
That's a great little reel.
$50. Yep. I gotta say, in my opinion, I think it's probably the best $50 reel on the market.
Yeah.
I can't think of one that can compete with it. You know, price point. You know,
they
get what you get.
They hold up very, very well for a $50 reel.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't used none of the big ones on that, but I've used the smaller ones for the inshore. Mm-hmm. And they hold up very, very well. They're a light reel.
Now, how are the rods holding up? Because you're outfitted with everything's Akuma right now.
The Shadow Stalkers they're amazing. I mean, I had a guy on the boat the other day. He wanted to bring one of his rods. I can't remember what type of rod it was. But we were out tarpon fishing, and he was using that. He hooked one, and he was struggling on it. And the next one, I was like, here, man. I was like, take one of my rods. I was like, use one of mine. I mean, he's seen a difference. I actually think he came up and got a couple.
Yeah.
Very, very durable, very strong. They have a lot of backbone on them. Cast very well.
For those of you at home, I'll have a company, and I pick a captain who I want to outfit the boat with. It's not so... believe it or not, it's the guys who don't ask are the ones who usually get the stuff. The guys who just want free stuff are too lazy and never get any reports. I don't know how this stuff's working. I don't even know if they've got it on the boat or not. But you pick a captain who I can get real reports from, and we outfit with a brand on there. But the thing we do differently is we give you, like, Carl, you've got from the very inexpensive Akuma to the very expensive.
Yep.
And that's how we find out which one of these products are actually worth a darn. The problem is people associate every reel in a line with the brand.
Yes.
But it's like saying, you know, I like a Corvette. Well, it's a Chevy. Now, the Corvette and the Chevette were two different vehicles entirely. And it's like, you know, you might not like the whatever brand,
mm-hmm.
but you can't get hung up on the brand. You got to go by the model in that brand. That's really a key component of getting the best out of your fishing tackle. You know, the Shadow Stalker from Akuma, but they've got a couple others I'm not that thrilled with. They've got a couple really nice ones, but it's the same thing in every label. Yeah. You got to look at the individual model and say, okay, is this worth the money? Is it, you know, what is it? Good is it?
Very good rods and reels.
But
I mean, I could cast a mile with them, hardly get any wind knots.
You know, the Akuma stuff's worked out really well for you.
Very good.
I'm outfitting with another company, another captain, to get some stuff, a newer thing coming out. And we've got guys using Penn, we've got guys using Kuma, we've got using Quantum. We try and pick somebody to use different yep. brands. And it's not because, you know, I would like to say, well, this captain, it has more to do with the needs of the store mm-hmm. and my needs to find out about the tackle. And yep. I want to pick somebody I believe will work well with that company.
Yep.
And so it's been good with you.
I've been very, very impressed. You know, I have no issues with any of this stuff at all. I mean, they handle the fish good. They cast well. You know, all my inshore stuff, I'm using 20-pound braid. Works excellent. On my bigger stuff, like my tarpon and sharks, I'm using, like, 65-pound braid.
Right.
I mean, everything works great together.
All right.
Not an issue on them.
Gilcrest Pier is just over there in Ponte Gorda. Have you heard anything from them?
No, I haven't. It's been kind of quiet.
I forgot to put the date thing there. Now I'll put my little question mark thing there. All right. At the reef, anything going on Alligator Creek Reef?
A lot of small cobia. Just that size that'll make you mad because you just want to like put them on a stretcher. You know, a lot right there at the 30, the 32-inch. There's a lot of cobia over there. Fun, you know, to go over there and catch them. It's kind of disappointing when they're not long enough, but I mean, they're still a blast. They're strong. What I've been doing the best on them is trolling. I've been trolling, you know, little storm, not the little ones, the big storm paddle tails. I've been trolling the Savage swim baits. Even that new live target bait, I've been trolling that too. But that's how I've been fishing for the cobia, and we've been doing very good.
About 3 miles an hour?
Me personally, I go a lot slower. I like, you know, if I look at it as like if I was a fish, I don't want to bust my butt to go catch up to a bait fish where I could find another one that's swimming slower. I go from like 1.9 to 2.4. That's where I like to troll. You know, it still gets enough action on the lure. You know, when you're trolling, you want to watch your rod tip. If your rod tip is vibrating, your lure's working correctly. If your rod tip is sitting there dead straight and not bouncing or not vibrating, that means you picked up grass, you picked up, you know, some type of debris. But yeah, I troll a lot slower than most of everybody else does.
I start off...
I mean, I will vary it.
I like when I start, I get my setups done, get all my rods out. As soon as, you know, I get a rod out, I let that tip bend a little bit just to give me a little tightness on the rod, and I get my whole setup done. Mm-hmm. And once I'm done, then I'll start adjusting speeds. But I want to do it when I'm moving slower. Yes. I don't want to do it fast. And I start off in that 2-mile-an-hour range.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going varying up or down a little bit from 3. I might go, you know, 3.5, maybe hitting 4 every once in a while. I've actually hit 5 a few times, but...
Well, I mean, sometimes you do. You have to vary. If it's not working at one speed, bump it up a little bit or slow it down a little bit, you know. Just try stuff.
The best way to explain it is you got to vary your speed mm-hmm. because some days you go through that area and you're pretty sure there's fish there and you're going very slow, not getting anything, so you speed up. Next time you go through there, you're at, you know, you're going at speed. You caught them the last time. Well, turn around, go slower this time.
You know, sometimes your fish are more aggressive on certain days than others. So, I mean, always vary your speeds.
Yeah. All right. The deep holes, anything out there?
A lot of small sharks with an occasional, you know, good-sized shark. But majority of it's been a lot of small ones. The deep hole off of the west wall, the one that's closest to the west wall right now, it's got a nice school of black drum in it. They were there this past week. There's a lot of black drum in that hole. You know, I mean, crab is going to be your best bet. A half a crab or a shrimp is going to be another one of your best bets. But if those fish are up on the surface and you can see them, I mean, you could pretty much throw a paddle tail in them. You could pretty much throw anything at them, and you're going to hook them. You know, you're in open water, so when you hook them, you know, you don't have to have your drag bark down really tight. You know, you're in open water. You know, enjoy that fish. But they're a hoot. I love fishing for black drum.
Okay. Let's gonna take us to the bait fish report. White bait. Jug Creek.
Devilfish.
Okay.
The markers have also been holding bait too. One thing about that is, you know, just be respectful this time of year because, you know, our cobia are running around. So there are a lot of people, you know, anchoring up at the markers, you know, trying to fish. So, I mean, you know, try to be as respectful as you can if you're on the markers. But, I mean, there has been, you know, a big mix white bait and thread fins at the markers, marker 2 and marker 1. Smokehouse still has bait.
Thread fins, where would you find them?
In the middle of the harbor. I mean, you could literally just drive down to the harbor and you could see them. But both the markers are holding them. Yesterday there was a lot of thread fins just off of Hog Island. Between Hog Island and Marker 1, there was a lot of thread fins there. You know, me personally, I'd much rather use a sabiki rig on the thread fins.
All right, now you were talking about, white bait at the smokehouse?
Yes, there's been white bait at smokehouse straight across from Two Pines. There's been bait, you know, pretty nice, good white bait at smokehouse.
Okay.
It's a little bit of a run, but I mean, there's pretty good bait there.
All right.
There's also bait down there all over the Sanibel Causeway. There's a lot of really big bait down there. Big, huge white bait, you know, hand-sized white bait. But I mean, Sanibel Causeway is loaded up with bait too. Bird.
All right. Now, let's go to pinfish. Where are you finding pinfish?
Pinfish, I've been going to Bird right there, and come out of Boca Grande boat ramp and turn left, and that island right there is Bird. I've been doing a lot of good pinfish there, and I've been also catching a lot of whitebait there too. Another place that I've been catching a lot of good pinfish is just off of Kaopalu. Sitting about, you know, 4 feet of water, 4 to 5 feet of water, and I've been catching a lot of really nice pinfish there. Thing about pinfish is you don't have to have a cast net for them. You could use a sabiki rig. You know, you tip it with squid or tip it with shrimp. Squid seem to work a little better because it stays on, you know, a little bit longer. But you could catch pinfish all day on a sabiki rig.
Now, you see any small crabs anywhere?
I've been seeing a lot of small, like, what, pass crabs?
Well, crabs for bait.
You know, around all the mangroves, there's been a lot of crabs. The only problem with that is they're ninjas. They're fast. the best thing to do for that is, you know, we sell here at the shop, we sell those big, long crab nets. That would be the best bet for that.
Yeah, get out of the boat and go catch them. Okay.
Yep.
Last thing for bait, ladyfish.
The best spot that I've been finding for ladyfish right now is off of Kaopalu, between Kaopalu and Devilfish. Just go out there and throw a paddle tail, throw, you know, one of those love lures,
right?
The tandem rigs, those have been working very good. You're going to sit out there, you'll be out there, you'll catch trout and ladyfish. But that seems to be the most consistent place for ladyfish right now.
Okay. I guess... anything else we should talk about?
You know, the past couple of days, the tarpon have been very good in the past.
All right, well, hang on just a minute, and I got to do that tarpon page update, so we'll stop this, take a break, and come back and do a tarpon report.
Okay.
How's that?
Sounds good.
All right, well, I guess, you know... play the music, say goodbye, you know, make it like a real ending to the show. This is Fish and Frank in the chair. We got Captain Carl, KB Backpacking Charters. What's your phone number, Carl?
941-565-7325.
941. 501-565-7325. Get a hold of Carl and get out there and see what's going on. Now, you can hire Carl in his boat, or you can hire Carl to go out in your boat with you. Anything from the Back Bay fishing, middle of the harbor, or in the Gulf of Mexico. You fish pretty regularly from Lemon Bay down to about Sanibel.
Yes.
Not too much north or south of there, but that's kind of your general haunt. You do go up to Sarasota and you
Sarasota, but mainly from Englewood to Sanibel.
But if someone does want to do Estero, you're fairly familiar with that, and you know Sarasota Bay pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Sarasota, I know really well. Go up there quite a bit.
You go up Sarasota quite a bit.
Yeah, pretty good fishing up there.
Yeah, I should have figured with the amount of redfish that are up there during different times of the year that, Carl be good at Sarasota Bay too. So anyway, thanks for listening to Radio Fishing, and we'll catch you on the next one. See you, boys and girls. Say goodbye, Carl.
Bye, everybody.